Yes, sir.
Post all the letters today itself.
Okay, sir.
Hello, Williams here.
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Williams. I call you to tell one important thing.
Important thing?
Yes. Tell it now.
Sorry.
I won't disclose my name and address to you. It's your wish. Now. Tell me the matter, Mr.
So why do you think I should work for the National Security Agency?
Well, you'd be working on the cutting edge. You'd expect some kind of technology that you wouldn't see anywhere else because we've classified it.
I need some money. Immediately.
Super string theory, chaos math, advanced algorithms.
Code breaking.
Well, that's one aspect of what we do.
Oh, come on. I mean, that is what you do. You guys handle 80% of the intelligence workload. You're 7 times the size of the CIA.
Fully aware of my demand. What is the motive behind this demand? Necessity. Necessity for money. I'm not supplying money for necessities, so you are not prepared to give money. Yes, I'm not. I realize that. But it is because you don't have money or else bloody.
Yes, sir.
Post all the letters today itself.
We don't like to brag about that, Will. But you're exactly right. So the way I see it, the question isn't why should you work for the NSA? The question is, why shouldn't you?
Why shouldn't I work for the NSA? It's a tough one. But I'll take a shot.
Say okay.
I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, maybe I break it. And I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army
in North Africa or the Middle East. And once they have that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed.
Hundreds of millions, probably billions of people around the globe. And it's one thing to say that we want the United States government to have these capabilities. It's another thing to allow this to be assembled without any public knowledge, without any public debate, and with no real accountability. And
now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks.
telling you that snooping on 100 or so reporters was no problem, Snuggly the Security Bear is back to tell you that snooping on, all of you isn't a problem either. Just take it from my bosses. You've got nothing to worry about. Unless you're a terrorist, a treasonous leaker, or, a fan of the Bill of Rights.
And what ultimately drove him forward, and what ultimately is driving our reporting and will continue to drive our reporting, is the need for light to be shined on what this incredibly consequential world is all about and the impact that it's having both on our country and our planet. This is just the same playbook that U.S. government officials have been using for the last five decades. Whenever anything gets done that brings small amounts of transparency to the bad conduct that they do in the dark, they immediately accuse those who brought that transparency of jeopardizing national security. They try and scare the American public into believing that they've been placed at risk and that the only way they can stay safe is to trust the people in power to do whatever it is they want to do without any kinds of constraints, accountability, or light of any kind.
See, even though we said that we only snoop on terror suspects and the people talking with them, turns out, in order to do that, we have to snoop on everyone! Overseen by the three branches of government. Never mind, it's one branch that lied to the other, and a third who okays what the first wants, 99.97% of the time. Certain sacrifices must be made if we're to keep you snugly and secure. And remember, we're just tracking and storing metadata, which means your phone number, who you called, when you called, where you were standing when you called, how long you talked, what kind of phone you talked on, who you called again, and who called you back. But don't worry, we're not listening to the actual call. And if you happen to be using the internet, we'll be there too, ready to get your emails, videos, chats, search words, and photos, all to keep you snugly and secure. It's all perfectly legal.
Williams here? Hello, Mr. Williams. I call you to tell one important thing. Important thing? Yes, tell it now. Sorry, I won't disclose my name and address to you. It's your wish.
Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices. A cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work, he can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids, and meanwhile he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker steak. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better.
Reveal things to Congress. Or ask the Director of National Intelligence, who does his very best to testify in the most unlying sort of way. Or ask the President, who warned of the false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we earn. Ooh, oops, wrong quote. He said you can't have 100% security and also 100% privacy. Or better yet, don't ask at all. And remember, we're watching you. All of you!
WCOM Radio, hey, This is Furious George. Thanks for listening to Micro Power Radio, WCOM LP Chapel Carborough, 103.5, or on your radio computer link at WCOMFM.org. Or you can check out some Furious G stuff like we do here every Thursday around 10 o'clock. This is going to be a final show here before we take a little summer break. But we'll be back in a couple weeks. We're going to be heading to the deep, deep mountain wilderness down in the Nantahala. So listen, check out Furious G at furiousg.blogspot.com. In the meantime, I'll be back. I do this every summer. And it's just really cool to be able to take a little break, think about some new ideas. Because, you know, there's just not nothing else, nothing going on. There's just nothing really to talk about except for a complete comprehensive loss of privacy. How about that? Oh, and that's coming from a person who doesn't even use Facebook. You can Furious F Facebook. No, you can't. I'm furious already. I don't even know what we're talking about tonight. Oh, it's just the, sorry. Worldwide loss of privacy. Check us out online, WCOMFM.org. You can call me right now, live in the studio, 919-246-9639. This killer new studio that I happen to be in. DJ Buck Rooster and I are rocking it Thursday nights. DJ Grizzus. A lot of other micropower community-based folks helping make this stuff happen. Hey, look, you know, I actually have folks listening to this thing way out in the middle of the other side of the world. So just so you know, let me describe the picture here. I'm in a small little strip mall that happens to be squeezed and really out of proportion to what a strip mall should look like. That's really basically a small two-room building. On the other side of me is the Cat's Cradle, where, you know, Nirvana used to play in some crazy places. And then downtown Carborough's, you know, I can throw a rock and hit the coolest bar around. And that place happens to be one of the most progressive places in the world. So for you folks who were in Scotland, or gosh, I had a listener in England and some other folks in Italy, Australia, all over the place. Describing to you right now, we are broadcasting from this crazy cool studio in the place where basically the most bigoted fascists in the country / world said they should put a fence around it. So we're broadcasting live from the liberated space of North Kakalaki. I'm furious. Let's get back to it. Please. Thanks for listening. I'm furious.
Journalist who would be aggressive about pursuing their duties as a journalist and inform the public, and that's how I learned of these things.
And you heard that one of your sources, at least, is a reader of yours. So was that person drawn to dealing with you because of your record on being an outspoken critic on these national security issues?
I think that what it is more instead is that there is a multiple episodes over the last decade where news organizations that discovered crucial information about what the government was doing sat on that information at the request of the U.S. government. The most notorious example of which was when the New York Times learned in 2004 that the Bush administration was spying on Americans and their telephone calls without the warrants required by law, and sat on that story for a full year after George Bush got safely reelected at the request of the White House. And so there's a concern that there's a lot of supine behavior, subservient behavior on the part of the American media when it comes to the government. And I think this source wanted to make sure, or these sources wanted to make sure, that if they took the risk of trying to inform the public, that they would find journalists willing to be adversarial in their posture toward the U.S. government and to be aggressive about informing citizens. We'll be right back. trust the people in power to do whatever it is they want to do without any kinds of constraints, accountability, or light of any kind. This has been going on since Daniel Ellsberg, who now is considered a hero, but back then was accused by the clappers of the world of being a traitor who jeopardized national security and the lives of men and women in American uniform in harm's way. The reality is that if you look at what it is that we disclose things like the fact that the U.S., the National Security Agency, is collecting the telephone records of millions of Americans without regard to any wrongdoing, or that they're tapping into the servers of the largest internet companies that people around the world use to communicate with one another. There, it is inconceivable. There's just no rational, sane argument that one can make that anything that we disclosed in any way alerts the terrorists who all knew already for many years that the government is trying to monitor them, or in any way enabled attacks to be done on the United States. The only thing that we exposed is the wrongdoing of these political officials, and the only thing that has been damaged is their reputation and credibility. Top secret designations are more often than not used to protect the political officials from having known what they are doing in the eyes of the American people.
And once they have that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed. Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard.
Interfering and dominating that region in order to have access to the
I wasn't talking about Israel, violence. So I was talking about theocracy. That doesn't happen here.
No, well, okay, that doesn't happen here, but at the same time, Iran isn't invading lots of other countries and occupying them for a decade, nor are fundamentalist Muslim countries the way the United States is. So these things are interlinked because we are continuously interfering in that part of the world. And so to say...
Really, it's all our fault?
It's not all our fault, but when you send your military for six straight decades into other countries to bomb them, kill their children and women and innocent men, prop up dictators, you take responsibility for your actions and say, to the extent that that region
That religion
is,
goes back 1,000 years before our revolution, so I don't think we can take all the blame.
I don't think we should. I think we should take a lot of it. And there's lots of really? Bodies and corpses that have been piled up in the name of Christianity and Judaism as well.
Thank you.
for the actual call. And if you happen to be using the internet, we'll be there too, ready to get your emails, videos, chats, search words, and photos.
So, here I have my Verizon phone, my cell phone. What authorized investigation gave you the grounds for acquiring my cell phone data?
I want to make sure I get this exactly right. I think on the legal standards and stuff, on this part here, I think we need to get the Department of Justice and others, because it is a complex area. And you're asking a specific question. I don't want to shirk that, but I want to make sure I get it exactly right. And so I do think what we should do is part of perhaps the closed hearing tomorrow, walk through that with the intent of taking what you've asked and seeing if we can get it declassified and out to the American people so they see exactly how we do it. Because
I saw an interview in which Mr. Snowden claimed that due to his position at NSA, he could tap into virtually any American's phone calls or emails. True or false?
False. I know of no way to do that.
Thank you.
will have a very significant impact. I think it is, use the trite phrase, game-changing. I think it will alter people's views on privacy. Even I was surprised. And then the fact that the government has had access to this data on an organized basis came as a surprise to me. And, you know, I would pride myself as being perhaps one of those people that knew more about those things than the average, but I don't. I'm surprised by it. I can't imagine what people of my age and much younger think about it, and I think it will alter their views. I was at a conference, René Overman's Deutsche Telekom conference in Munich last week, and there's certainly amongst, we had all the operators, not just Deutsche Telekom, but all the operators, or most of them, and a lot of the handset manufacturers, etc. And I think we were all of the view, and people from the government, from the Obama administration, etc. I think we were of the view that it would have a very significant impact. You know, I could...
Some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices, a cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon.
Have you heard of the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza for the last 50 years, motivated in part by extremist views of Judaism or the wars in Europe or the fact that there were generals in the United States saying we have to go and invade and destroy Iraq, a country of 26 million people, because our God is bigger? Lots of religions, not just Islam, produce violence.
Well, if I could just make one quick point about Egypt.
That silly liberal view that all religions are alike. Because it makes you feel good.
No, it makes you feel good to say our side is better.
No, it makes you feel good to put a crown on your head and say, I'm a good person. How do I prove that?
You get to ignore the responsibility that your own government has for the violence and instability in the world by saying, look, it's that primitive religion over there that's to blame.
First, as you know, administration officials have been pushing back pretty hard against your story and the follow-up story about internet surveillance, also disclosed by the Washington Post. Yesterday, James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, spoke to NBC News and had this to say.
For me, it is literally, not figuratively, literally gut-wrenching to see this happen because of the huge, grave damage it does to our intelligence capabilities.
And this morning, after you were on ABC's This Week, Mike Rogers, the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, said the following. Greenwald says that he's got it all and is now an expert on the program.
Well, first of all, to the extent that politicians like Republican Mike Rogers are running around boasting that only they know, but not the rest of us know, about what the U.S. government is doing in terms of how it's spying on its own citizens, that to me is exactly the reason why transparency is so vital here.
Or better yet, don't ask at all. And remember, we're watching you. All of you!
They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work, he can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids. And meanwhile, he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker stick.
Money, this is not a bank. I know. I'm fully aware of my demand. What is the motive behind this demand? Necessity. Necessity for money. I'm not supplying money for necessities, so you are not prepared to give money. Yes, I'm not. I realize that. But it is because you don't have money or else. Bloody. Hello? 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 Because you don't have money, or else bloody. Hello? 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 William?
NSA gains access to network backbones, the big data pipes of the internet, so it doesn't have to break into individual machines. He says he'll stay in Hong Kong to fight extradition back to the United States until, in his words, he's asked to leave, telling the paper he has faith in Hong Kong's rule of law.
Actually, if they willingly knew that this was classified information, I think action should be taken, especially on something of this magnitude. I know that the whole issue of leaks has been gone into over the last month, but I think that something on this magnitude, there is an obligation, both moral but also legal, I believe, against a reporter to score.
Threatened this, and the congressman's office hasn't responded to our request for proof you actually said this. So just for the record, have you or are you threatening to disclose the names of CIA agents and officers around the world?
Yeah, the reason you haven't found that, Anderson, is because it doesn't exist. I was really staggered that a United States congressman, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, actually could go on national television and make up an accusation, literally fabricated out of whole cloth, namely that I have threatened to uncover the names of covert CIA agents as a way of arguing for my arrest and prosecution inside the United States for the crime of doing journalism. I mean, it's bad enough to call for that. It's extraordinarily menacing that he did so based on a complete falsehood. The idea that I ever threatened that. I did not, nor would I ever. Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Skype, all of them, and this constant negotiation between the government and these companies to allow the government access to enormous amounts of data, all done in the dark with no public accountability.
I'm holding out for something better. to Africa or the Middle East and once.
Massive spying apparatus being constructed completely beyond democratic accountability and knowledge of the citizens on whom it's spying and done in the dark. And that's exactly why, as a journalist, I think it's so vital to shine light on what it is that the government is doing. As for the statements of Clapper, what I would say is this. In every single case over the last 4 or 5 decades, whenever reporters or journalists expose the secret conduct of government officials that they're trying to hide from the public, they use the same playbook. They try and scare Americans into believing that they should be trusted to exercise powers. We're keeping you safe from the terrorists. And then they attack the journalists. They did that to the New York Times when they published the Pentagon Papers. It's what they do in every case. The reality is that terrorists already know.
Let me just jump in. I would certainly agree that you performed a public service by letting Americans know what is being done in their name.
Sophisticated email encryption in order to have that conversation. It was something that I didn't know how to do. He actually wrote out a few emails directing me step by step how to do it. And when I still didn't do it, he actually made a video instructing me how to do it. And when I still didn't do it, just because it was sort of something that wasn't on my radar, I was working on other things, he then went to Laura Poitras, who is an award-winning filmmaker whose film was nominated for an Academy Award, with whom I've worked in several different capacities, who did have encrypted email, and he began speaking with her and told her that he wanted to involve me in this as well. And from that point forward, we began speaking about the possibility that he would be prepared to blow the whistle on some very serious and disturbing conduct inside the National Security Agency.
Where you were standing when you called, how long you talked, what kind of phone you talked on, who you called again, and who called you back. But don't worry, we're not listening to the actual call. And if you happen to be using the internet, we'll be there too. Ready? To get your emails, videos, chats, search words, and photos.
Well, you'd be working on the cutting edge. You'd be exposed to the kind of technology that you wouldn't see anywhere else because we've classified it. Super string theory, chaos math, advanced algorithms.
Code breaking.
Well, that's one aspect of what we do.
Oh, come on. I mean, that is what you do. You guys handle 80% of the intelligence workload. Seven times the size of the CIA.
We don't like to brag about that, Will. But you're exactly right. So the way I see it, the question isn't, why should you work for the NSA? The question is, why shouldn't you?
Why shouldn't I work for the NSA? It's a tough one. But I'll take a shot. Say I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, maybe I break it. And I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army.
In North Africa or the Middle East. And once they had that location, they bombed the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed. Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices, a cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work, he can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids, and meanwhile he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker steak. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better.
Gas prices, Farmer Village Club, a baby seal, and cash pipe, and join the National Guard.
I could be elected president.
Didn't members of Congress know about this, number one, and aren't all the programs that have been revealed legal?
First of all, as far as whether members of Congress have known about it, many did not. Even the ones who did, let me direct you and your viewers to two senators in particular, Ron Wyden and Mark Udall. Just go and Google Mark Udall, Ron Wyden, and the Patriot Act. And what you will see is that those senators who are in the Senate Intelligence Committee have been trying to warn Americans vocally as they can for years. They've been saying the following. The way that the Obama administration is interpreting the Patriot Act using secret legal interpretations is so warped and so extremist that, in their words, Americans would be stunned to learn, that's their words, stunned to learn about the surveillance that the Obama administration is engaging in on American citizens.
So what is it?
And
what
yet,
is
why
it
haven't those senators told?
Glenn, what is it that the Obama administration is doing that is so stunning? Can you tell us exactly what they're saying?
I just told you what it is, Mika. We reported on it. It's that the NSA is collecting the telephone records of every single human being in the United States without any regard to whether they engage in wrongdoing. They're tapping into their online chats, their online calls, their online interactions of every sort. And the problem is that those senators are constrained by law from doing or saying anything about it. So you can say all you want, oh, the White House has gone to Congress and briefed them on it. But when you impose restraints on what they can do about it, even their ability to warn the American public about it, that kind of consultation is impotent. It's meaningless. Even those senators couldn't tell us what they wanted us to know. It took a brave whistleblower to come forward and tell us.
Of course, the president said on Friday, he goes, I welcome a debate with those who disagree with me about these programs. So you can't talk about these programs publicly, so that's going to be a bit of a muted debate.
Got his hands on it. He had very carefully spent months looking at them, examining them, figuring out which ones the public should see and which ones would cause gratuitous harm. And
I'm assuming that Congressman King has sort of combined two different statements, one made by Snowden and one by you. Snowden has said, and I quote, I had access to the full rosters of everyone working at the NSA, the entire intelligence community, and undercover assets around the world, end quote. You said in an interview, quote, we're going to have a lot more significant revelations that have not yet been heard over the next several weeks and months. But again, that's not saying anything about what Peter King has said. So are any of the, just for the record, are any of the revelations that may be coming, that you may release, are any of them the identities of CIA personnel or agents in the field?
No, and when Mr. Snowden said what it is that you quoted him as saying, he was doing so in the context of answering the accusation which I had asked him about, that he was trying to harm national security. And going to Egypt, we were supporting and propping up Mubarak for 30 years, even as we were cheering for all the Tahrir Square demonstrators as though we were on their side.
Their name in terms of these secret programs, but would you be willing to concede that there
is a potential downside with this kind of disclosure, where potential terrorists, America's enemies, could be more careful to avoid this kind of surveillance that you have now made public.
Okay, let me tell you why that claim is absurd. It's really actually what they're doing when they make that claim is they're insulting the intelligence of everybody in the United States. Every terrorist on the planet already knows and have known for a long time that the United States is trying to surveil their communications, eavesdrop on their telephone. It was our government that kept Mubarak in power, just like we've done across the entire Muslim world. Amazing for you to say that, well, look at all these Muslims, the minute you give them a little bit of freedom, they go wild and they do all the generated more violence and militarism in the world over the last 5 or 6 decades and say, look at those people over there, they are incredibly violent.
Doesn't
happen here, but at the same time, Iran isn't invading lots of other countries and occupying them for a decade, nor are fundamentalist Muslim countries the way the United States is. So these things are interlinked because we are continuously interfering in that part of the world.
They have that location. They bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed.
Not protecting national security, and that's certainly the case of the stories that we published.
Glenn Greenwald, can you tell us more about Edward Snowden, why he came forward, what he risks, and why even you both are in Hong Kong, why he chose Hong Kong?
It's really one of the most remarkable experiences I've ever had, meeting him and having interviewed him for several months now, really, and for the last 8 days in person here in Hong Kong. And I say that because he has undertaken actions that he knows are going to result in serious harm to his personal interest and to his well-being, whether that means that he will never see his home again, or he will spend many decades or the rest of his life in a cage, or will be passed around from government to government.
Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices. A cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the...
All of you!
Hey, listen, this is Furious George. I've got to sign off here and get on my little adventure for the summer going. This is Micropower Radio, WCOM LPFM, LPFM Radio. We've had so much to talk about tonight. The United States of Surveillance and Glenn Greenwald's fantastic job standing up to corporate media and some other fun stuff. You tell I'm ready to go. It's going to be a couple weeks until I come back, but you know what? There'll be some cool Micropower Radio here at WCOM FM. Because all volunteer driven. I kicked in some money to help pay for some of these killer new radio CD players. That was my little chip piece of money thing. Okay, it's 11-ish. Time for Furious to head home. Not until a little bit more Hoda S.A. Yeah, that's the guy there in the background. Some crazy Brazilian underground hip-hop. We've also had some crazy new stuff from DJ Every. With some really cool apocalyptic sounds. Plus, so much more music from Low End Theory, which we play all the time, and some fun new stuff from, like I said, DJ Every. Check him out. If you want to hear more about the Furious George Show, or at least read more about it, go to furiousg.blogspot, and then you can click on something and you can hear about it. That's how most folks hear about it, aside from listening right now. If there's folks driving around downtown Carrboro, dodging the man. It's late. It's probably a curfew. Oh, wait a minute. We're in a liberated community. This is what happens when Furious has got nothing else to play. So, drum roll. All right, for real. This is Micropower, community-based radio. Maybe I need a break. Thanks for listening. Call us, 919-246-9639. Or go to furiousg.blogspot. For real, most of all, thanks for listening to Micropowered Community-Based Radio. Thanks for listening to some non-commercial, anti-corporate, totally from the community, and surrounding forests. I'm furious!
Because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids, and meanwhile he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker steak. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better.